Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum & Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
There's a little white duck sitting in the water, a little white duck doing what he oughter. He took a bite of a lily pad, flapped his wings, and he said, I'm glad I'm a little white duck sitting in the water. Quack, 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 quack.
Now, how could that song sell?
How could it sell?
Are you kidding me?
This is a brilliant song.
Oh, it is? A little white duck sitting in the water?
This is my frozen safe
face. Ain't a lily pad?
I sing this with my grandkids.
Oh, I didn't know that. So what?
What? Burl Ives is singing us into this segment, Little White Dog.
I'm going back in the music, ladies and gentlemen.
Do you hear the
who?
This is the frog now.
The fog?
The frog.
Frog?
What the frog say?
Ding, 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 ding.
Now it's a little black bug.
A little black bug floating in the water, and the frog eats it.
But my poems are better than that.
They are, but this is for little kids.
And, of course, there's a part about the little snake as well, the little red snake.
And then what else?
It's kind of like there was an old woman who swallowed a fly. I don't know why she swallowed a fly.
Or the cat in the hat grows back.
No.
Oh.
It's one of those progression things of who eats what, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And this is the same thing, except for it's more, there's a duck that's just doing what he's supposed to do. And then
Dave, don't think too much about it. It's from simpler times.
Okay.
It's why fun aren't these for
songs,
kids.
Why aren't these songs, you know, still on the radio?
Yeah, why?
Well, they're not on the radio, but the kids, they're on kids' songs videos, and
they
sing them in the car.
They belong on mainstream radio.
We want to change the world.
Okay, yes, he does know how to be sarcastic.
No, I'm serious. Simpler times, where are... You think I'm being sarcastic?
No, I think he's being honest.
We need
there.
Simpler songs
right.
And stuff. I mean, now we've got, like, Kanye and 50 Cent.
Fitty.
And those
50
other
Cent.
People.
We got all these people. Like, I would love to hear 50 Cent sing about the little white duck.
Oh. I bet he did when
are
he was
Kardashian. Well, what are they called?
The Kardashians.
Those people. Kardashians.
I bet they used to sing Itsy Bitsy Spider, too.
But I like Bruce Jenner, though.
You know what? One song that I didn't get here on
break. I used to before the plastic surgery.
No, but he was really good.
Little bunny foo-foo, mm-hmm. hopping through the forest, scooping up the field mice and popping them on the head. And apparently Disney said that you could not bop them on the head, so they changed the lyrics and kissing them on the head, which that's just ridiculous.
Mm.
Why would the little bunny foo-foo kiss them
on the
head?
Why would they bop them on the head?
Well, because they're field mice.
Yeah. And they...
I don't even know who Bonnie Fufu is.
Bonnie Fufu? She's one of the people that you used to date. Anyway.
She's but listed on that toilet paper roll.
Yeah.
They actually made it's like another version of that song. I'll sing it to you during the break.
Oh, very good. I cannot wait. It's for Breakthrough Entertainment After Dark.
Boom, 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 boom.
We should have that.
We should. We're going to do it.
In the forest.
There is a Big Brother After Dark.
Yes, like that's why.
Showtime or Skin of Max or something like that.
All right. Well, then go to breakradioshow.com and you'll see when we will do After Dark.
Yes. Woo-hoo. It'll cost. You have to subscribe.
Okay.
Yeah.
How much will it cost me?
We're going to talk about that during the break. You will hear about that on
break.
After Dark. Breakthrough Entertainment After Dark. But right
1480.
Yes, KPHX 1480 AM. This is Breakthrough Entertainment's Easter special.
Yes.
It is our special Easter basket for all of our listeners out there. We've got a lot more goodies.
Oh, we said goodies at the same time.
Jinx.
What does that mean?
You can't talk.
Say it at
that
the same
means
thing.
Jinx.
Oh,
jinx? Yeah. Well, you already
don't you do
you
a little pinky thing? What's it called? Needles and thread or something?
Wow. See, simpler times. Simpler times. Anyway, and simpler
minds.
That's
what Eric said.
I like jinx.
Oh, no, you said that.
Let's.
No, Eric said that.
They
simpler
both said
times.
It. They both said it.
Let's talk about Johnny Depp.
Okay.
How about that? How about
that's
we do
not
that?
One of my favorite actors and one of your least favorite.
Yes, yes. I really do not
I'm
care
right
for Johnny Depp, except for one. This it's an Easter movie, believe it or not, Passover movie.
With Johnny Depp?
Yes. Chocolat.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
I haven't seen Chocolat.
One of my favorite movies of all time. It's out of my top 10 list of all time.
Chocolat.
Really?
Chocolat.
Chocolat.
What's your favorite movie?
It's Mixed Nuts.
Oh, yeah. That's
hey,
right.
You got a Christmas
wait a
movie
minute
and an Easter movie listed on there.
Mixed Nuts and Chocolat. Now you're making me hungry. Chocolate covered nuts.
Oh.
What's a third? Fruit and cheese.
But Chocolat is a great movie. If you want to see a Easter themed movie with a lot of chocolate and you want to be like craving chocolate at the end of that movie or during the movie, you cannot go throughout the entire movie without eating some chocolate.
Chocolat is about
some
chocolate.
Chocolat. Yeah, they make that, you know, the chili and the hot chocolate.
I have no idea.
Yeah, you know that, right? With the chili in it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
that's
like
wonderful
chili.
Yeah.
No.
Wow. And apparently, it's an aphrodisiac as well.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Chili.
Now
no,
all of a sudden, Greg maybe likes it.
I don't even know what an aphrodisiac is.
Chocolat is.
Oh.
Yeah. Are you serious?
It's a mood enhancer.
A mood
oh
enhancer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
interesting.
It gets you going.
Hey.
Oh, that's usually something else.
Okay. Well, anyway,
it's a flower.
Yeah.
Let's talk about another Johnny Depp movie. Of course, Chocolat gets a breakthrough, but let's see what Transcendence gets. It's a new movie came out yesterday. Johnny Depp plays a terminally ill scientist who downloads his mind into a computer, granting him power beyond his wildest dreams before eventually becoming unstoppable. That's why these are not simpler times, because we get movies like this out there, right? It's a science fiction flick. Yeah, what did you think of the trailer?
Looks like a corny remake of Man vs. Technology.
You think it's a corny remake? What's corny about it?
It just, the way the trailer set it up is, you know, the guy's now somewhere in cyberspace and he's doing all these things of destruction, and it just looked corny to me.
Well, I was going to say, it's not doing well at the box office.
Oh, it isn't?
And you know what's tough about it is because, you know, you still have Captain America out, and then soon the summer season starts with Spider-Man 2 coming out, and so I think a lot of people are sort of either waiting or they're like, oh, we still haven't seen Captain America, so the superheroes kind of rule. So that's been tough for it. It looks like a Christopher Nolan type of film because director Wally Pfister, of course, worked on some of those films with Christopher Nolan. Yeah, it looks sort of like Inception, which I love. It looks good. It looks interesting, even though I'm not into the science fiction type stuff.
Are you just saying that because you like Johnny Depp?
Well, most of what I've seen with him I always like. Now, I haven't seen The Lone Ranger yet. It looks a little boring, and I don't know if I really ever will.
It's also like 3 hours long.
Right, that's kind of why.
And
I
wouldn't watch
it. I like most of his things.
I wouldn't watch it because of the crow hat he's wearing.
Well, Eric, what do you think about Transcendence? Have you seen the trailer or anything?
Well, like you, I'm not a big fan of Johnny Depp.
Yes.
And
wait a minute. We agree on something? Hold
on. Yes, yes. You knew that we both
stop
didn't
the
like
presses.
Him. I watched about 30 seconds of it and I had enough of the trailer.
Okay. All right.
Because it was only a 30-second trailer. Good one, Eric.
Well, what does my shirt say?
It transcends. It's our friend with an X in it, and there's also a question mark.
And the X is covering the F-R-I, so is transcendence our friend, end. Or is transcendence our end?
Because yes. It was actually one of your favorite movies of the year thus
far.
I think so.
Okay, well, you know.
Because Cole Hauser was in it.
I do like me some Cole Hauser. Not like well, that, but of
it's
course.
It's okay.
With the Paparazzi, remember that movie, Paparazzi?
Yeah. Oh, he's been one of my favorites since Dazed and Confused when he was a kid.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and you know, you got a lot of other, you know, terrific actors in this movie as well. Mm-hmm. And Transcendence is both boring and bizarre. No, this is a terrible movie.
Oh,
one of the worst movies
now.
I have seen this year. This could not be, my thumb could not be further down.
That's anti-Johnny Depp bias-ism, and we're going to talk to them about that.
No, anyone could have been in this movie, and it would have just been terrible, because each passing minute of this movie, it gets even more boring and more bizarre. It's 2 hours long, a little over 2 hours. It would have been bad enough if it was just Johnny Depp's monotonous pontificating.
Right.
You know, he's just boring, just like giving a lecture throughout this entire movie. There's no like inflection in his voice. He is just a scientist talking like this, and then he turns into a computer and it gets even more monotonous. And you would not listen to Breakthrough Entertainment if we talked like that.
You wouldn't.
Even if I was Johnny Depp.
Okay.
Oh, I think they would.
Because they can't see us.
Right.
Actually, you are Johnny Depp.
Hey. Yeah.
We'll tell the ladies that at the bar crawl next week.
I'll be your manager.
Well, you know, all right. Well, here's the other thing.
You're mine.
Oh, that's right.
Oh.
Can I have dual citizenship?
I'm still waiting for gigs.
I'm still waiting for the payment.
You're sneaking around.
Got to get me the gig to get paid.
Oh, yeah. You are quite correct.
Well, the movie's boring. Transcendence is boring. But then all of a sudden, this nanotechnology starts rising from the soil. Literally. You've got like this dust stuff. Small particles that is rising from the soil that it is healing some people and resurrecting others. Here's our resurrection theme here again for Breakthrough Entertainment's Easter special. It's bringing people back to life. This nanotechnology. Mm. This goes from like a simple science fiction flick into something that's completely ridiculous. And again, you know, even with all this stuff that's going on, it's still boring. It's preposterous and it's boring.
I was right then, wasn't I?
Yeah, well, in while watching it, I could not help but wish that I could upload my mind to a computer far, far away from the theater to escape the experience. Again, my thumb could not be further down on Transcendence.
Thank you. It looked
bad. Do not
see
it. Just terrible, terrible.
But the shirt's cool.
Yeah, the shirt's cool.
I like it.
Good tagline.
Yeah. But, you know, it puts a whole new meaning to From Dusk to Dust.
Yes.
Dusk to Dawn. That was a movie.
Dusk till Dawn.
Oh, it was?
All right. Well, let's move on to our next movie. This one played at the Phoenix Film Festival, and you didn't see it, but I did. And
I saw it.
No, you didn't see it. Bears. Bears.
I didn't see it.
Disney's Bears.
Disney's Bears. Disney Nature's Bears. Of course, we had, a few years ago, we had African cats, and we, of course, had chimpanzee.
How could you give thumbs down to a movie about bears? Come on.
He didn't review it yet.
He didn't give a thumbs down yet.
And Disney.
Well, I'm just saying, whichever way you go, you can't thumbs down a Disney nature
bear
flick.
Movie.
Well, okay, so did you like Oceans?
Never saw it.
All right, well, you shouldn't, because Oceans was terrible. Chimpanzee was pretty bad. It was cute, but not, you know, horrible. I liked African Cats a lot.
African Cats was good.
African Cats was a wonderful documentary.
And I really wanted to see Bears, but I didn't see the other ones.
Well, and of course, it's coming out for Earth Day. It's in a couple days, right? So we've got, and I believe a portion of the opening week's box office receipts will be going to, you know, the Earth Day Fund and all that. So Disney is nice enough to do that. So let me tell you a little bit about the film. John C. Reilly narrates this.
Oh, that has to be a thumbs up.
Yeah, because he's a great actor. He's a
although he does kind of look like a bear, but one of my favorites. He's hilarious.
If a film crew documents a year in the life of a bear family as two impressionable young cubs are taught life's most important lessons. So yeah, you've got the big mama bear, and you got the two baby bears, and you got all the other bears around. You've got a wolf who wants to eat the baby bears. There's the mean bear that's been ostracized.
Is this real footage? I mean,
it's real footage. Footage, but they give them all characters.
I think they set it up.
You think they set it up? Possibly. I don't know. I mean, but they have to craft a story around it. That's what made African Cats so great, because it had a nice little story, and you felt like you were almost watching an animated film in a way, because it had, you know, it was such a nice like family vibe. And so Bears looks really adorable.
Yeah.
So if I say it looks really adorable, of course, Greg, that means I didn't like it. No. At first glance, so yeah, how could I give a thumbs down to a movie called Bears?
A bear nature movie. Come on.
Come on. No. Here, it looks adorable at first glance, but before long, it becomes unbearably boring. Ah, yay. Thank you.
Oh.
Okay. But
no.
So it lacks the entertainment value needed to keep audiences interested and engaged. I don't know how kids are going to be able to stand this movie. I mean, yes, okay, you want to see adorable bears, and go on the internet and look at bear pictures, or go to YouTube and watch little bear documentaries in 5-minute spurts or something. But why would you want to watch a movie that's over an hour and a half about a repetitious cycle of a mama bear seeking salmon for her cubs? That's all that goes on here. She wants to find the salmon for her cubs. She can't find it, so she goes to the next
lake. No, she's scared of fox. The mama bear scared a fox away, too.
Not the fox, the wolf. She's got to do that.
But what did the fox say?
I don't know.
I just went to YouTube and looked up bears, yes. and it all comes up is bear attacks and bear maulings.
That sounds wonderful. I don't know.
But you told me to go watch it.
You have to YouTube cute cuddly bears.
Yes, YouTube cute
it
cuddly
still
bears.
Still shows a bear mauling.
Probably.
Actually, there was a very cute video on there of a ranger up in Alaska that they were taking out bears during the hibernation time and tagging them or something. Not hibernation time, but they were tagging bears and they had bear cubs, and it was really cute.
But you want a movie like this to be cute, and in the beginning it is cute. For the first few minutes,
and
it is
it
very
hibernates.
Cute. Well, yeah, because it's just boring. There's no real story here. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not enough story. It's the same stuff that goes on over and over and over. And yes, maybe that's the point of the movie, is that that's what this mama bear does throughout the whole season. But is that really entertainment? Not really. I didn't find it very entertaining. It is. Safe enough to bring kids to in a way, but also the bears eat the fish and the fish are bleeding and they're dripping blood, and so
that's
maybe
nature.
Yeah, that's nature.
If
so,
the movie was about ducks, would you have been happier?
Absolutely.
There was some discussion that if they would have shown John C. Reilly's face, this would have got an R rating.
Well, possibly, because John C. Reilly, have you ever seen his Dr. Steve Brule character?
I have not.
You've got to check out Dr. Steve Brule. It's on Adult Swim, and it's hilarious.
Well, for the ladies out there, our last two films, we've talked about two of the best looking male leading men in the world, Johnny Depp and John C. Reilly.
And here's the thing, he's joking, of course, but about Johnny Depp. But John C. Reilly, his narration in this movie, that's where all the amusement is supposed to come from, because the rest of the movie is so boring. You're supposed to think, okay, it's funny when John C. Reilly makes this little joke, because he's like doing like the bear voices and stuff.
Problem is, when it's Disney, he can't really do much.
Right, he can't do very much, exactly. And then it just sounds like Dr. Steve Brule. It sounds like that character doing these impressions of these bears and telling us this story. And it's sort of like, really? Are you being that just like corny? Mm-hmm. And so I'm giving Bears
it's a
thumbs
Disney
down.
Flick.
Okay, but so is Aladdin
and
Finding Nemo and Frozen, yes. You want to see a good family film, then rent Frozen.
Definitely. Yes. Definitely.
Or
if you're in the mood for a nature documentary from Disney, then rent African Cats.
Yeah.
That's definitely
the best. A good one.
Okay, I won't.
But there is a take home message from that film.
Yes.
And Dave knows what that take home message is.
Don't mess with kitties.
What movie are we talking about?
Bears.
Okay.
So it's Don't mess
with the mama bear.
That's right.
I wrote a poem
about
that.
That's right.
Do you have the poem?
Yes, I do.
I wrote a poem.
Oh, do you want to read the poem?
I don't have it with me.
Okay.
But the whole point is I'm Mama Bear. Yeah. My kids call me Mama Bear.
Oh, you're writing poems for her now?
Oh, he's written me 44.
Wow.
Beautiful
44
poems.
Magnum.
But you don't mess with the mama bear.
Yeah.
Wow.
Does the movie finally answer the age-old question, does a bear, in the woods?
What does he do?
Yeah.
I've seen bear scat in the woods in Alaska.
Yeah, and if you give him candy, it's really candy.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. No, really. No.
The,
no. Yeah, no.
The bear.
Mike Klein said. What's his name?
What?
Mike Klein?
That wasn't
David
bear
Klein.
Poop.
David Klein.
That yeah. wasn't bear poop candy.
Good luck with your client there. Okay. All right.
David. David.
How did yes. I get that? Is right. my name Mike?
Well, and here's how appropriate the music is here on Breakthrough Entertainment, because this is our Easter special. Rosemary Clooney, again, is going to sing us into
again?
The break. Lovely weather for ducks, but I played it specifically. We're playing it specifically at this
There's
point
a
in the show.
For ducks today, I think.
Huh? What?
The biasm towards ducks.
I know. Well, we have to.
Against Johnny Depp.
Wait, is Easter like for ducks?
I well, there's ducks. For... No. There's ducks. There's little baby ducks.
Ducks up.
Yeah.
To zip over Dallas.
Just say, well, lovely weather for ducks.
That's a now, tough song to sing.
This is the part about bears. Listen to this part of the song.
Okay. This is about bears.
Don't get cold feet. Just repeat. Lovely weather for bears.
See how my planning goes, huh? Huh?
Brilliant.
Yes, thank you. I worked on that all week.
We'll conquer his plan.
I should have been a musician
Take
back
over
then.
The bears.
And this is Breakthrough and Entertainment Live 1480 AM KPHX, and we'll be right back.
Aches and you need a few more bucks. Don't you pout, just sing out. Heavenly weather for what could be better for lovely weather for ducks.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
There was a little bunny who lived down the lane in his home in an old log rail. With his little pink nose and his long white ears, the funny little bunny with a powder puff tail. He woke one morning and his mama said, now take this yellow pail.
And this is a very interesting song, Joseph. Your taste in music is impeccable.
The powder puff
wow,
tail.
Gene Autry sang some
This is Gene Autry
again? Yes. The funny little bunny with the powder puff tail.
And he made a career out of this?
Come on. Why are you so mean?
Am I mean?
This is our Easter special. Breakthrough Entertainment's Easter special here on KPHX 1480.
I tell you never to talk family business in front of the family.
Oh, that's the Godfather.
Yeah. This is not his full repertoire.
Oh.
This is just the Easter songs, and he, like Rosemary Clooney, did some that were for kids.
You know what I forgot? We said about an hour and a half ago, after the break, break, I would say and disclose my favorite singer of all time. Are you guys ready?
Is it Will Bruner?
It is Gene Autry. No, I'm kidding, of course. No, good for Gene Autry.
Okay. Well, who is it?
Dean
Martin.
Yes. What do you think? Good choice?
Yeah, we've actually got a song from him in 2 weeks, which stay tuned to our next segment. What?
You already know that?
Yes.
Phenomenal.
That is phenomenal. My cousin danced with him.
I mapped these things
Did
out like
know
a
that?
Month in advance.
My cousin danced with him. Dean
is that
Martin.
Why he's your favorite?
No, because he was good. What do you need?
Well,
you need my iPad? You do?
Oh. Hey, let's can
we, oh,
can we do that?
It won't work.
Can we do that off the air and go to our next interview? Of course, this is our Easter special here on Breakthrough Entertainment, and you cannot talk about Easter. We've talked about Easter bonnets, we've talked about Easter candy, jelly beans, and we've talked about Easter eggs. Hickman's, thank you so much. But now, you cannot talk about Easter without talking about rabbits, and we've got plenty of them here in our own backyard. And we have on an expert, Will Bruner. I just said his name a few minutes ago. He is the curator of educational program animals at Arizona Sonoran Desert Museum out in Tucson. Thank you so much for joining us, Will.
No problem. Glad I could be here.
Absolutely. So, this is fascinating that I think a lot of us, and I'm going to speak for myself here, take the rabbits for granted. I mean, I live out in New River, and I see rabbits every single day, and it's just sort of like seeing a fly at this point. I've grown up around them. For the past 30 years, I've just kind of like neglected the fact that there are these rabbits all around. But it's actually a very beautiful thing that people don't see in other states. But so how many different varieties, species of rabbits do we have here in Arizona?
Actually, you kind of have to realize that we have to split it into two groups because we have both rabbits and hares, except we refer to the hare group as jackrabbits.
Okay.
So we have desert cottontail, which is the rabbit, and then we have the jackrabbit species, which are actually classified a little bit differently.
Oh, okay. And are they both as common as each other or different?
Probably in most of the areas you're going to find probably that the cottontail is more common. They're more adaptable to a lot of human activity as well. Jackrabbits are pretty specific. They're kind of specialists. They have very specific requirements. So you don't see them as much. They're a little bit more sensitive to human intrusion. But once you see one, if you see a jackrabbit, you'll never forget it. Quite a different looking animal than the rabbit you're used to seeing in your yard.
Now, a jackrabbit, I understand, Will, is bigger than a cottontail, correct?
They are. They're considerably bigger. They're one of the things that makes them really unique is they have those oversized ears. I mean, we know that a lot of animals here in the desert have these wonderful adaptations, but the jackrabbit really sort of stands out. Also, one of the things you're going to notice about them is that their gait is actually a little bit different. When a jackrabbit's moving, their legs are much longer, which is characteristic of the hare group. And so they almost seem to be more like running as opposed to hopping, like you might see with like a cottontail.
Now, I was reading, I think it was on your website, how, especially for cottontails, that first year, it's a high percentage are killed by, various predators. And I guess that's nature's way of why they multiply so quickly to make sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, so talk a little bit about that.
Well, when you're an animal like a rabbit, unfortunately, you sort of fit the easy meal program, which means there are many different types of animals that use you as a food source. So nature's response to do that is to sort of flood the environment. So basically, animals that, quote, breed like rabbits do so because the idea is you get as many numbers as you can out there in order to sort of flood the market, and then hopefully by sheer numbers, you will have some that a percentage that survives. But yeah, especially when you're a young animal and you don't know your way around the world, you've got predators like hawks, owls, coyotes, bobcats, snakes, all of these animals that would hinder you as a food source. Unfortunately, it does take a high percentage of the young that are born every year, but it does mean, just as natural selection works, that the strongest animals will survive.
How long does a rabbit live?
You know, in the wild, it's kind of hard to tell. In captivity, rabbits can live 10, 12 years. In the wild, you probably want to guess the average is probably around 3 to 5, just using the high percentage that pass off in the first year. than, you know, the animals that do survive. Jackrabbits actually can tend to live maybe a little bit longer, the bigger animal. Interestingly enough, though, their reproductive rate is less than the cottontails because they don't produce as many young. It's one of the unique differences between the two species.
All right, and now I suppose that this is the same answer as any wild animal, but if you were to want to keep one of these cottontails as a pet, that's a big no-no, right?
Yeah, and for several reasons. I think the biggest way I like to explain it with wild animals is wild animals don't know they're supposed to be pets. We consider them pets. The animal is just going to act as it would in the wild. And for a couple reasons, one of the things with animals like cottontails and jackrabbits is they stress very, very easily. They have not been through years of domestication bred to be those calm animals that come into our home. In fact, anybody who works in wildlife rehabilitation will sometimes tell you that young rabbits are sometimes one of the most difficult animals to work with, and young jackrabbits especially, because they can overstress so easily that even just handling them can be detrimental. So definitely not a good choice. If you are interested in an animal like a rabbit as a pet, my advice is always to go through a local rescue organization and really do your homework before you bring a rabbit or any other animal into your home.
Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, in San Diego, we have a large number of these little, tiny, little, fluffy, cottontail-type looking rabbits. And they really grow exponentially a couple weeks after Easter. And it's always usually around the elementary schools. And I think that's because parents go out and ill-advisedly buy these cute little fuzzy bunnies, and then the first time that they nip at the child or something else happens, they get let loose there.
And the thing is, you know, trying to bring out any sort of wild rabbit, and actually with any wild animal, you want to be exceptionally careful because they can pose a health risk as well, not only through things like bites and scratches, but also that, you know, the wild animals are going to carry ectoparasites like fleas, ticks. I mean, it's just obviously a good idea to give wild animals their space. And, of course, yeah, we, you know, most animal rescue organizations will tell you that they will see a flood of young rabbits coming into the rescue groups a couple weeks after Easter because everybody gets the young rabbit and then realizes that rabbits are pretty a specialized animal. Their diets are very specialized. They don't like to be handled a lot. They don't like to be picked up and held. All the things that a normal young child wants to do with a pet, this rabbit is a really poor choice for.
Right. Now, and speaking of their diets, if we want to have these, you know, wild rabbits, jackrabbits and cottontails around in our yards, is there anything we can feed them, or should we not do that?
Well, the thing is, you want to be careful about supplemental feeding anything. The thing is, these animals have adapted to the environment that they've grown up in. So as long as your yard is healthy, it will provide the perfect amount of food source for the population that it can support. We don't encourage supplemental feeding of any wild animal, maybe with the exception of feeding wild birds, because with animals like rabbits, you can create an animal that becomes completely dependent on the food that you're providing and doesn't learn how to forage for itself in the wild. Birds have such a varied reinforcement that they can do that easily and still find enough food. Animals like rabbits or raccoons or anything like that are an animal that needs to learn to survive on its own. So, but if you have a healthy yard and you have a nice garden and things like that, and of course, many of the gardeners out there are probably cringing because they spend a lot of time trying to keep the rabbits out of their garden.
Exactly.
But if you do native landscaping, those plants are designed also to be able to withstand the onslaught of rabbits. Appetite.
You know, I'm reading on your website with jackrabbits and the breeding process, and you talk about courtship. You know, it's you want to talk a little bit about that?
I see them playing around with each other, everyone, you know, jumping over each other.
Well, I mean, there's a certain a process that seems that goes on where they chase each other and they leap over each other.
They flirt.
Yeah. How do they learn how to do that?
It's so funny. It's just like, you know, when spring comes around and spring is in the air, you have to remember that nature has selected that they want the healthiest and strongest animals to reproduce. So with an animal like a rabbit, it's not just, you know, like two rabbits meet on a street corner. It's there is a process to it, and it, they do have a working social system. But one of the goals is that the females, and as you'll learn in natural history, it's all about female choice. The girls make all the choices, so
yes,
they pretty much rule
yes.
the world.
Would you say that one more time? I don't think anybody heard that. Can you say that one more time?
The girls make the choices. The girls rule the world.
I hate my life.
And when it comes to rabbits, the females are going to make the males work.
Wow.
Not only do they have to fend off other males, but they will actively court the females by, and then there's all that jumping and running around. And what the females are doing is they're testing the endurance and the strength and of these males to make sure that the strongest male, the healthiest animal, is the one that is going to father the offspring.
Yeah, but what's this business of spraying urine too? It says sprayed urine.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, think of it as rabbit cologne.
Yeah.
The idea is that you pretty much you lay down your own scent. Now, we are visual animals, so we like to, you know, this is where, you know, for us it's all about what the eye can see. But for rabbits, these are animals that live a lot by smell. So by laying down your own scent, you basically envelop the area in your scent. And some scientists believe that rabbits can, and other animals that have a very good sense of smell, can tell by just the chemicals in the urine how healthy the animal is.
And also eliminates competition, so no other female.
Yes, exactly. You basically sort of, you know, flood the scent, or flood the area with your scent so that you overwhelm. And the female, basically, she'll pick the animal that's claiming the largest amount of space.
I had a friend that did that. But anyway.
I was going to say, before Dave said the thing about the spraying, I was going to say that we humans aren't that much different than rabbits, since I like to twerk and everything at these bar crawls to try to get the ladies' attention. But no, I don't spray. So, fortunately.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, Will, again, I want to remind our listeners that we're speaking with Will Bruner. He's the curator of educational program animals at Arizona Sonoran Desert Museum. So tell us a little bit about what we can find at the museum. It's in Tucson. Tell us any more information that we can hear about that.
Yeah, the Desert Museum is a really unique facility. You have to think of it as part Natural History Museum, part zoo, part botanical garden, and part art institute. But the museum was founded over 50 years ago with the premise of bringing the beauty and the natural wonderment of the Sonoran Desert region to everybody's attention. This is a really unique area in and around southern Arizona. The Sonoran Desert region stretches from Arizona down into Mexico, but it's really unique. It's the only place in the world that you'll find some amazing species of plants, obviously one of the ones being the amazing saguaro cactus. But the Desert Museum's idea is to showcase that and to realize, prove to people that the desert is not a place devoid of life. The desert is a place full of life, and the museum gives you basically a unique, magnified ability to see all of that. And we have lots of different exhibits, animals, natural histories, geology, and demonstrations that all highlight the species of the Sonoran Desert.
Right. And now, Will, we all know that the jackalope does not exist, even though we've seen him on all those postcards around here in Arizona. I'm sorry, Eric, but we know for a fact that the Easter Bunny exists. I've never seen him. I've never been able to catch him hiding those eggs. But if you had to guess, what kind of rabbit is the Easter rabbit?
Well, I think, you know, the way I like to think of it is nature is very cohesive. So to me, to say, you know, there's only one Easter rabbit, I think my theory is always that rabbits like to work together. So maybe there's a sort of underground coalition, depending on the where you live, that the Easter rabbits like to work together.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, I like it. I like it.
Yes, very good. And well, again, Will, I want to thank you so much for joining us and helping us celebrate Easter here on Breakthrough Entertainment. We're going to recommend our listeners not only enjoy the cottontails and jackrabbits that they have out in their own backyard, but check out the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum out in Tucson if you get a chance, and learn more about these wonderful creatures that we have in our own backyard, as well as all the other creatures as well.
Sounds like a great family adventure to go and learn more, too.
Yeah, it was wonderful. We're there for children of all ages, as I like to say. My goal is that you should learn something new every day, so no matter how old you are, and the museum provides a really unique opportunity to do that.
Yes, and that's why I love Breakthrough Entertainment, where we you know, talked about Easter bonnets and eggs and everything, and now we know all this stuff about spraying and everything. So I learn everything, learn something new every day as well. So thank you so much for joining us, Will.
Anytime. Thank you very much, guys. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Guess where I'm going after the show?
To the museum.
No, buy some cologne.
Okay. why do you do that? Well, just use what's natural. Anyway, let's have Rosemary Clooney bring us into the break one more time. Don't sell that. Nobody wants that. Rosemary Clooney's going to sing us into our break one more time.
Again?
Bunny on the Rainbow.
Oh, that sounds cute.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Busy as he can.
Now that's a song, Eric. He's
painting Easter. If you say so.
He's painting Easter eggs with him.
Merritt's worried now about my managerial ability if I say, that's a song.
I'm worried about you spraying.
Why do I know that?
I do it on Van Buren in Washington often. Anyway, this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX Bingo. Okay, we'll be right back. To the ground, all those Easter eggs he must hide around the town and the countryside. Then on Easter morning, Bunny plays peekaboo. He claps.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633. Or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
No, Joseph, I'm not playing live. I'm not playing along.
I don't want to be a chicken. I don't want to be a duck. I just want to be myself.
Oh, is that how that goes?
Yeah.
Keep going.
That's some of the lyrics. There's other lyrics as well.
I like that song. I see people at hockey games dance.
And baseball games.
Weddings.
Weddings, yeah.
I haven't been to a wedding in a long time. Oh, okay. I haven't been to a wedding in a long time where they played this song.
I haven't been to a wedding in at least 5 years.
Except your own.
Yeah, your
exactly.
own. What about that?
I wanted to see who would correct it. Eric wins the grand prize.
Yeah.
Oh, I am so proud of Eric.
In order to win, he actually has to dance the song like Trisha and I are. Because I know our listeners can't see this.
I'll
do
it by playing along. There's wings of elbows dancing up and down the street light.
Oh, come on.
Oh, come
Eric.
On.
Eric.
I had to stop you from singing.
Eric killed the Easter Bunny.
He didn't like me swinging you by the arm.
And dance on the table, everyone. Okay, chicken or turkey? Which one?
I'll tell you what, when I get married, that better not be playing at my wedding.
I'm going to tell you what.
We didn't play it at our wedding.
Oh,
either,
we didn't?
But it is very fun to have at the Rattlers games. They show all the people dancing.
Oh,
remember?
They do, don't they?
When they do it, it gives you a chance to like move all the wiggles out of you.
Wiggles?
I'll tell you right now, if my bride-to-be won't let me play that at our wedding, then it's off.
You know, what if you get engaged and get married, and she goes, honey,
shuffle.
On your honeymoon night, she goes, honey, I made the best dinner for you. I found this duck in your
room. That's not even funny.
It was in the yard, and I just thought I would cook it.
That's not even funny.
That's
on
not
our
funny.
Easter special?
That's not funny.
That's not, come on.
He's right.
And the duck's listening.
I'm laughing.
Yeah,
you
he
don't
listens to the show.
Out
he must
or paranoid
me.
This duck.
He's very
loved,
upset because your ex slept with me last night.
Wait, what?
What?
Your next
what?
Slept with me.
Who?
My cat, my kitten, the
who?
Killer kitten.
Your next? I thought you said
your
my
next.
Ex.
No.
Yeah, so you're next. She told me that, too.
Your duck and your cat?
Yeah, they both
the
slept
cat.
With me. And
the cat
doesn't
your
the cat
next.
Doesn't
they had a threesome with the animals.
They, Frozen does not like your next.
Because Frozen's afraid that your next will go after his manhood. Sort of like in the NHL, a lot of people have been going after manhood.
Because the cat is the saying, playoffs. You're next.
I Frozen. Told Frozen yeah. that Frozen is my buddy and my baby, and
did
your
they
next
end
is
up
just
with
my cat.
A,
so he
did they end up with a dat?
So he get, so the duck gets no. upset when you sleep with the cat.
Yes. Well, they,
wow,
yeah.
that's amazing.
Because
wow.
I'm supposed
makes
to be
perfect
his friend.
Sense
we
to
know
me.
That Eric's ready to get the beep button because he knew what I was going to say
oh,
next.
Oh, don't say
but
that.
I'll hold
right.
off.
I don't know what it was.
I got 10 seconds.
Let's talk a little.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Shall I do it?
That sounded
no.
like that sounded like a dare.
Let's talk about our next movie, or actually our last movie
yeah,
of
last
the day.
Movie. Appropriately
we,
so.
Yes, we all saw it at the Phoenix Film Festival. It opened
oh,
yesterday. Well, you didn't, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, well, maybe fortunately, I don't know, because Eric was making it sound like it's a pretty terrible movie. I don't know.
I don't
know.
Like Nicolas Cage anymore.
Joe. The movie's oh. called Joe.
No, you... I don't know where I got that from.
All right. Well, Nicolas
wink,
Cage.
Wink.
Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage plays an ex-con, the unlikeliest of role models, who meets a 15-year-old boy played by Ty Sheridan, and is faced with the choice of redemption or ruin. Okay. So
I said I thought it looked good.
You said you thought it looked good.
Yeah,
what
he did.
What looks good about it?
Well, it kept telling me best performance by Nicolas Cage ever. That's what. Made me think it's good.
And you don't like Nicolas Cage?
No,
you do
I,
like Nicolas Cage.
No, I was sort of joking. I obviously, he's been a great actor with Face Off, Con Air, two of my favorites, obviously. But the thing is, the last 6-7 years or so, I don't know.
You don't like the...
Knowing was pretty good. Well, until
seriously?
The end. But no. I know. I'm one of
yeah,
the
Knowing was
like
pretty
that.
Decent. That was his last better movie.
National
but
Treasure.
I like National Treasure.
But that, but that.
Drive
that,
Angry.
But wasn't National Treasure in 2004, I believe. See, I've said the last oh. 6 or 7
yeah,
years.
You did.
You mean you didn't like Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance?
I didn't.
No,
that's
I
okay.
Know.
Neither did I.
Yeah. No, no one liked
but
that.
But I agree.
I
Con Air and what was the other one?
Oh, Face Off.
He's great.
Face
but
Off was,
but
Face Off was excellent.
He's sort
yeah,
of an interesting fellow.
Best movie.
Yeah. And I like Nicolas Cage for the most part, so I was actually excited about watching this movie.
Okay. Well, let now, who wants to go first? Do you want me to share my thoughts first?
Yes.
Do you first of all, do you agree or with each other, or should we not say that? Dave and Tricia also saw this.
We will
Film
keep
Festival.
It a surprise.
All right,
yes.
Keep it a surprise. Okay, well, you know what? The artistic qualities in this movie were very overwhelming at times. It was overbearing, and, you know, this is an ugly reflection of Southern Gothic. We all know that there were quite a few walkouts during the movie. Some people could not take this movie.
Oh, I did enjoy Kick-Ass, and Nicolas Cage was pretty good in that. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I saw that.
And that was within the last 6 or 7 years, right. So that counts.
Okay. Very good. See, then
you know Nicolas Cage is immortal, right?
And, of course...
Busted!
All right. So Joe is a powerful piece of cinema that redefines what Nicolas Cage is capable of doing. You know, because like you said, there's a lot of bad blood around Nicolas Cage.
Greg is testing the waters here.
I actually really didn't mean to. I meant to say,
it
oh,
was
shoot.
A slip.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
it came out wrong.
But so, okay. So.
Stay tuned for Breakthrough Sports next week from 9 to 2. All right, just kidding.
The new drama, this is a drama essentially, but it has something significant to say about clearing away what is old and unstable to make room for what's new and full of potential. That's essentially the story here, and we see the end of the movie really reflects that. But it's also a gripping portrayal of one man's futile effort to outrun his own nature. It's real. It's raw. It's remarkable. I'm giving it a thumbs up. I actually liked
it. You did?
I liked it. I thought it was great, except for the artistic qualities. I did not like the artistic qualities, but I liked his performance, and I liked the gritty nature of it and all that stuff that made all these snooty people walk out because they couldn't stand a little bit of blood and guts.
I know who told me that. Don't go see it. It was you, Dave.
It was me.
It wasn't a little bit of blood.
There was a lot of blood.
Well, but the thing is that I thought it was kind of gratuitous, though. It really...
Cool.
Someone pounding someone over the head with a piece of metal?
No. That was okay. But the whole... I mean, the animal thing?
Okay, yeah.
What was the point of that?
Yeah, I get it.
That's where a lot of people left, because that was quite gruesome,
yes.
And I never got the point of why they had that there.
Because it's real. That is what you will find in... I don't want to...
I understand you'll find them north
of New River.
Oh, okay. But I'm just saying, and you'll find it a lot in the backwoods area of the South. But what was the point of that particular vignette in this movie? What was the point of it?
Right. Yes.
You never really got who these people were. You never really got why he was good at doing that and why he was doing that. It wasn't like, oh, this is going to be dinner. That's where I thought, what was the point of that? Now, the young boy who played
Ty Sheridan, he's in Mud.
I thought he did an excellent job.
Yeah, he does a good job.
Of portraying being torn between being the child and being the man and everything.
The guy who played his father, I thought he did a great job as well.
Yeah.
I can't believe that he's an actor. He looks real.
Yeah,
he looks like a real drunk.
Yeah.
He looks like a real mean drunk.
I would not want to be anywhere near him.
No, I agree. And that was good. So the acting of that, I thought, was very good. Nicolas Cage, I mean, maybe I expect a lot of him as an actor, but I wasn't like, wow, that was one of the best things I've seen, you know. But the movie itself was it did have that redeeming quality, and I could see that, but it was so distasteful in some of the things that it showed, especially that one particular scene, that I just thought, okay, tell me why that was important. And I never did see that.
I just view it as a reflection of reality. And that's what I'm saying. That,
like,
I didn't
who's
like the
blind guy
stuff.
In the corner? Who's the lady and the man that were there in the room? You see the blind guy in the corner later on, but that at another scene.
Right.
But what is he?
I got
he?
An
Who
answer.
Is he? Where is he important?
Here's what I thought. Is that it was really a story about an internal conflict, Nicolas Cage, between good and evil. I mean, he's had both. He's trying to be a good person, but it wasn't strong enough. The plot wasn't there. I mean, it's very subtle. I mean,
it got lost.
Is a good guy, maybe. It did get lost. It just didn't develop right, and it didn't have this profound, you know, climax.
And like the girl, why did that whole thing?
Yeah, the girlfriend.
They started to develop a couple of different relationships, apparently. You know, that he's involved in on various levels, and then they never explained them or and some of them just disappeared.
And I mean, he was trying to show he's trying to help people, good cause, but then again, he just harasses, you know. I mean, he's making problems with the police too. It's like, you know, if you're gonna do a good cause, do a good cause, but don't randomly show that you think you're a victim.
Well,
and get problems.
I don't think it was random. I think it was art. So you two are giving it thumbs down. Joe gets a thumbs down from two of you. I give it a thumbs
down. The only way Nicolas Cage can turn his career around if he changes his last name back to Coppola. Then he has a good shot.
Well, I viewed it
but
as...
But he is busy coming up in the next year or two.
I viewed it as a reflection of real life. And again, these places that do exist. And as a means of making us feel uncomfortable. And again, as art reflecting
real life. And if that's the case... I agree with you.
Yes.
The problem is no one knows it's a case except a few people. You don't know that exists. And if you don't know, you think it's a corny movie.
Okay.
I'll say this. There's very few with a lot of films that understand things, sort of like sense of humor in some movies, where you can spot its genius, but there's only 5 to 10% of us, and the rest, you know, usually those... usually those hillbilly guys.
hillbilly.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that
don't
means.
Understand. In this case, Joseph understood that. Doesn't mean you guys...
it was just a matter
understand.
Of taste. I
it's
love
a
horror
taste,
movies,
but,
so
but
I can
sometimes with
that.
Art, because... A lot of people seem to agree with Joseph on this, especially when you go with IMDb and some
the director,
others.
The director, he's made a lot of great
really
movies.
Right.
A lot of horrible movies as well.
And in some cases, that happens.
It's actually getting good ratings, I will say
that. That's what I just said.
Can you say the name of the director? Is it?
I will absolutely Coppola. Say that. It is David Gordon Green.
And, of course, some of his movies he made...
yes.
Some of your favorites.
Absolutely. Pineapple Express.
Oh, God.
You're kidding. You didn't like that?
No.
But see, that's what I mean. You know, there's genius that, behind it.
You're
film.
Not part of the 10%.
But you are part of it, Eric.
But he also makes these
this
artistic
is, This is the
too.
End and Pineapple Express in the exact same category.
Are you kidding me? There's phenomenal films.
I but, call them that word you spoke a minute ago.
Eastbound
exactly.
down and down.
I agree with you. I agree with
Your
you.
Highness.
Yeah, see, that's what I was talking
oh,
about.
Oh, Your Highness. You're high if you like that.
Yeah, Your Highness.
Yeah. But he also makes the artistic films like this.
He does.
And he made one last
well, those
year.
Those are artistic, though.
Well, I was just going to
well,
say.
Pineapple
yeah,
Express.
I was going to say, Dave and I, while we while we disagree as far as we're giving it a thumbs down, you're giving it a thumbs up. We can definitely understand where you're coming from.
No,
and I understand where you're coming
from. I totally agree with
you. And anything that can polarize people passionately has got something to it. And that's even what we're seeing here in our conversation.
I was going to say, let's ride along here a little bit and talk some Ice Cube.
Oh, you saw Ride Along, which I gave a huge thumbs down to. We never talked about it on the air, but I gave it a huge thumbs down.
You're right. We didn't talk about it, so I'll talk about it now, and I'll just be quick with it, that I don't give it a huge thumbs up, but definite thumbs up. I thought it was enjoyable. Kevin Hart's hilarious. And
really? That's the last word that I would use to describe him. Annoying.
He's funny.
Irritating.
He's a funny little guy.
Grating.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Oh, okay.
And Ice Cube, I always like Ice Cube ever since the days of Boys
Jump
in the
Street.
Hood and mm-hmm. well yeah and 21 and now 22 Jump
Ice
Street
Cube's
coming
good.
Out he's always good
we saw Draft Day
oh very good
draft
how
day.
Was
yeah.
it
yeah
all right what'd you think of Draft Day briefly
thumbs up
I loved it I thought it was great
it was good
they have to agree because if they disagree there'll be a divorce
no we've disagreed on a couple of different shows.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, yeah.
Our first one,
women.
Remember?
Oh, on the honeymoon? I thought it was good.
No. Our first, no, the honeymoon
you said shows.
Was fantastic. We were in a show on the honeymoon.
Well,
No, I'm talking about the first movie that we saw and both reviewed. And it was the CIA.
Sounds like.
Jack Reacher.
I love Jack Reacher.
No, the other one.
I can't think of that
the
name.
CIA
oh,
movie.
Yeah. I loved the book, and I was trying...
I didn't like
we'll,
it.
We'll think
the,
about it.
Recruit.
Shadow Recruit.
Shadow Recruit. Yeah. Shadow
I
Recruit.
The name,
I enjoyed Shadow Recruit. He gave it a thumbs down because it wasn't believable. So see, we do disagree,
we
Greg.
Do disagree. Mm.
And I
okay.
promised everyone that I would give our listeners a sneak peek at the next couple shows.
Yes.
Next week, it is our safe-cracking show in honor of Dom Hemingway.
Woo!
Oh, we got a safe-cracker?
Safe-cracking show. We're trying to get a safe-cracker on the show. That is going to be a hard nut to crack. And in 2 weeks...
Hard safe to crack.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I think we ought to have... We're going to hide the jelly beans in a safe, and I bet you'll be able to get it open.
Oh, with my teeth. Mm. And in 2 weeks, it's our Gigolo show. And
Gigolo. Vin is gone?
That's where the teeth come in.
Vin is already booked. And then we've also got our Mother's Day special coming up. So stay tuned to Breakthrough Entertainment here on 1480 KPHX. And we want to thank everyone for listening to our... Easter special, Breakthrough Entertainment's Easter special. It's been an absolute pleasure to celebrate with us. We want to wish everyone a very happy holiday tomorrow and hope that you find all those eggs and don't get sick from all of the chocolate rabbits and bacon flavored jelly beans.
And let's not forget Jesus.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Jesus, too. Right?
And,
of course,
if you want to hear a replay, go to BreakRadioShow.com under Archives Breakthrough Entertainment and listen to this great show.
Yeah,
and all the funniness.
Yes, yeah, it's a funny show, and so
all
just...
the peeps that went on.
Right, and of course you want to listen to the Breakthrough Entertainment After Dark. We're going to get that started.
Oh yeah,
and singing us out of the show is Ray Anthony, his orchestra, Bunny Hop, of course. We can hop out of the studio, but of course.
Is that like West Coast Swing or something?
No, that's where you all stand in like a conga line, and then you all touch each other's shoulders and hop.
Oh, is that what that is?
Hop, hop, hop.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hop, hop, hop. Oh, okay.
I'll show you.
All right, here. Oh, my God. You're kidding me. There's a bunny hop going on the tree. Okay. Whoa. Anyway, stay tuned for Real Hockey Talk coming right up at 12 o'clock.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.